Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
This is the Tom Bernard Podcast. Listen live weekday mornings, 8 to 9:30, or anytime you like as a podcast on the Tom Bernard app at TomBernardShow.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
And Tom is off day three. Mackie was in on Monday. It's Judd Zolgad, Score North, in again today and tomorrow. Tevin and AJ, of course, as always, in. Welcome into the show. And gentlemen, did you guys see yesterday, not just the Twins loss, but did you see the Byron Buxton almost being taken out by the sausage race?
Yes.
In Milwaukee.
What?
So Tevin, are you aware
I'm familiar with the sausage race. Perfect. One of the greatest sports spectacles ever created. But how is Byron? I thought all the players were off the field when the sausages were running.
It takes place on the warning track. And I mean, this has been the case for years there. So like, this is not new. It has not been altered between innings. After the visiting team has made their final out of whatever top of the inning, Tevin, that it is. And so Buxton is, and I mean, the whole thing's caught on film. You can go back and watch it. It's all over Twitter/X, but Buxton is racing out of the dugout, and I guess Pablo Lopez says, don't forget Max Kepler's glove, because Kepler, I think, had made the last out of the top of the inning. And so he goes back, and then he comes back out and goes to jog across the warning track. And I kid you not, and I mean, there could not be a worse player to see this happen to, because you know, if he gets hit, he gets hurt, because he's Byron Buxton, unfortunately. And he almost goes into the sausage before retreating at the last second to duck back into the dugout. And I just thought to myself, first of all, there is no more Minnesota thing.
No.
There is no more Byron Buxton thing that could possibly happen than to try and explain how you ended up on the injured list, because you were taken out by a racing sausage in Milwaukee in the third game of the season after Royce Lewis got hurt in the first game.
Twins fans have seen him get hurt, like jumping into a wall in spring training and like a random game in April. They've seen him like slide into a base wrong and something happens, and or just rounding the bases and getting hurt. It would be the most Minnesota thing, like you said. Not a player. Not an in-game play, but just walking out of the dugout and getting taken out by a giant oversized bratwurst. Just bulldozed over. That would have been the most Minnesota Byron Buxton injury of all time. And he would have been out for months.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Is like, that would have been, I think, I'm not convinced that this was not the case regardless, but that to me is the sports gods trying to tell you something. Like, you've gotten hurt in every conceivable way, and you bounced back, and good for you. You missed a ton of time, but you bounced back, right, Tevin?
Yeah.
You've gotten hurt in every way possible.
Yeah, you can always come back.
But if you get taken out by a mascot, I'm probably just done.
And not even, like, the Brewers' official mascot. This is, like, a sidekick to the mascot. Like, it's just a random sausage that really has no reason to be out there on the field whatsoever. So it might as well have been, like, a streaker that you almost got taken out by.
I'm going to tell you right now, the Brewers fans, I think, would disagree. They love that. They love that. Anything that hints of drinking, they're all in on. But, yes. So here's my story to follow up on why I'm going to defend the sausage. There was a time, oh boy, what was it? Around 2003 or so, the Gophers were playing the Badgers in Madison at football.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I don't know, it's the Brewers or the company that runs the mascot races or what. One thing they do is they take the costumes on the road and rent them out. And so, like they have Because the people in those costumes lots of times are like fans that are selected and things like they're not necessarily professional mascot racers. Okay. Mm-hmm. Which seems odd. So anyway, a buddy of mine, I don't know if he knew the guy at the company or what, but he arranged for us to be in the mascot in the sausages. So we were going to be, and the race itself before the football game in Madison was going to be like from a bar around a block, like just, go around the block. And so the guy who was one of the guys, what they do is they slip the sausage costume on you. So like your legs are still fine. Your legs are free, but you've got the costume on your upper body. It obviously covers your head and your torso, and not kidding you, the guy got to me, and I was probably two beers in, so it's, I was not by any means intoxicated. And he slipped the costume on, or he started to. And what it does is it pins your arms down, and I think you're looking out the mouth, and he got this thing like halfway on, and I realized I am far too claustrophobic. Like, I literally said, I can't do this. And it must be so common that the guy basically said, oh, okay, that's fine. And he put the costume on himself and did the race. So he's prepared. So like the people that put the costume on you are prepared to do the race in case you can't. And I like, mm-hmm. I was like, cause your arms were pinned at your side. And the other thing though, in Buxton's case of a player running in front, and I'm not joking about this, you have zero peripheral vision.
Yeah.
So you can see out basically, I think it's the mouth. So you could see what you're doing going straight. But if a player or anyone runs from the side, you're going to truck them.
What? There's no armholes in the sausage. Like you're just supposed to run with your arms by your side the entire race. That seems terrible. Like a terrible idea.
I think if you look at it, I think I'm right because I remember now it's a long time ago, but I remember my arms. I remember the first fit of panic being when my arms were like he was putting it on and they were pinning and they were pinned in. And I mean, I'm not claustrophobic where I can't get into a crowded area and I freak out. But this was literally, I started to hyperventilate. It was the most confined I've ever been in my life. And as I watch Buxton, I'm like, dude, if you get in front of that thing at the last, and plus, I don't know who gets hurt. My guess is Buxton and the sausage both get hurt. But I just remember the feeling, the overwhelming dread, the fear of like, you expect me to run in this costume? I can't breathe in this damn costume.
And when you say they rent it out to people and whatever, I'm assuming they sanitize it a little bit, but the inside of that sausage can't smell the greatest.
Oh, no, it probably smells like a sausage.
Yeah, it smells like sauerkraut in there, right, Judd?
I would imagine, yes. I didn't leave it on long enough to observe the aromas, to inhale the aromas. But, yeah, I'm willing to bet they spritz something in it, right?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
They got to. Yeah. Well, so kind of mascot adjacent. I used to work at a Perkins in 494 in Lexington over in Arden Hills when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. And they had a muffin costume. And so I drug it out of the back one day and it was slow. And I was like, hey, can I wear the muffin costume and like greet people as they come in? They're like, sure, why not? And so it was big enough where I could like crouch down and it looked like just a random muffin sitting on the ground and you didn't know anybody was in there. So I thought it'd be fun to scare people as they came in. For their breakfast in the morning.
What an ass you are.
And so, well, it gets better. There's a group of, attractive high school girls that are coming in. I was like, this is going to be perfect. So I stand up, scare them. The girls absolutely, jump, lose their mind. It kind of startled me a little bit. And so I slipped and fell over. And because the muffin costume was so round, I was like a turtle on his shell and could not get up until somebody had to come physically help me up. And then they were like, yeah, this is enough muffin costume for you today, Tevin.
Well, going back to the sausage race.
I got so many questions. Yeah, go ahead.
Do you guys, have you ever seen the clip of the Pirates?
Randall Simon.
Randall Simon. Tevin, have you seen this?
I have not, no.
They're doing the sausage race and they're just like, they're making their way past the third base dugout, just like they did yesterday, almost taking out Buxton. But Randall Simon for the Pirates is up on the railing with like a teammate. And as one of the sausages runs by, he takes his bat in his hand and just whacks him across the head and knocks him down. And I imagine these don't have much head protection, right?
No.
So imagine like the description Judd just gave. Your arms are pinned at your sides. You can barely breathe. It probably smells. It's stuffy. You're panting. You've got zero vision peripherally. And all of a sudden, whack, you're 20 feet from the finish line, and you get a Louisville slugger upside the back of your head.
Oh, I'm suing.
I think she did. It was a woman.
Really?
I think it was a woman. Yeah, if you Google the story, and I think that they did come to a settlement, because it was one of the most uncalled for. I'm sure he thought it would be funny, but like AJ just described, it was bad. And that person went down, and I believe they ended up in court, or at least they settled, you know, the Pirates did with her before it got there. But yeah, it was, go back and watch it. It's still online.
I'm watching it, and it looks like they've at least have their arms out so they can run in these sausages. But okay. He took a swing to the back of her head.
Yeah, like let her pass by, and then, yeah.
And then the race was just over. Although she did get up and finish, so good for her.
So if your arms go in, I don't know where they go in, because I just remember the overwhelming feeling of dread of my arms being pinned in. It must have had some type of outlet eventually then. I mean, I didn't even get there. That's how big a wuss I was.
Well,
I didn't even get to that point. I'm just like, I can't do this.
It looks like you got to go fully, almost 100% in, and then you probably have to like wiggle your arms up,
yeah,
and then they come out.
Oh, that's not happening. Yeah. That's not happening for me.
No, it looks like it'd be a tight squeeze for probably anybody here.
But anyway, the moral of the story is, Byron Buxton, dude, your life doesn't just call for you to be careful between the lines. You got to be careful of random mascots. You got to be careful of if you guys, before you both were born, but have you heard the story? And I believe he didn't play in the 87 World Series against the Twins because of this. Vince Coleman, the Cardinals speedster,
mm-hmm.
got rolled up by the on-field back in the day tarp machine at Busch Stadium, the old one. So like there was a tarp that came out of the turf.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly how it worked, but I think it was to cover the field, and I think the tarp was actually below the field and came up or something like that. Anyway, okay. Somebody deployed it, and like Coleman wasn't paying attention, and it ate him up basically. Like, I think he hurt his leg.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm looking, I can see like videos of he's getting stretchered off the field after getting rolled up. Well, because you see all the time when it rains and the field crew is hurrying up trying to put things out, and like
somebody
you'll
falls
see
underneath.
Somebody fall, and then now they're underneath. We got to get him out. It's a lot like the American flag at like football games. They have the huge one that's out for the national anthem, and somebody gets rolled up in it.
Where do those huge flags come from? Like, how do you get a flag that big? Because they seem really common at sporting events. Like, who purchases a flag? I need a flag that covers a football field.
And who is the owner of the business that is somewhere counting their millions of dollars because they charge the NFL, you know,
right?
$500,000 per flag? Yeah.
I feel like they got to be like segmented up. Like, it's, was it 13 stripes? Each one is individual, and then they like Velcro together or something like that, because
folding that thing's
got
to
be a nightmare.
Oh, yeah, because you have to fold it in one huge triangle so you can store it.
Some poor person's like, okay, Marge, we're done with the flag. Just fold her up.
Yeah. Just some intern, not even getting
3 days, hence they're like, still, okay, I'm just about done. All right, let's take a break, come back here. Tom Bernard, morning show. Zolgad in for Tommy.
When you go to a restaurant, you expect the chef to be an expert. You expect your auto mechanic to be an expert when it comes to fixing your car. You judge them both by the results of their work. Josh Arnold is an expert in investments and planning your financial future. Josh Arnold is my expert, and he should be yours, too. I talk to Josh every week, and he understands the market and the economy, and he knows how to plan for your retirement. Don't put it off another day. The man with your plan is Josh Arnold. Call Josh now for a no-obligation 48-minute evaluation. You've got nothing to lose, and you'll have an expert planning and managing your financial future. Call Josh at 952-925-5608. That's 952-925-5608. Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC Security Investment Advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice. Tom Bernard is a paid endorser.
Is that text you're sending so important that you missed your turn? Is that text you're sending so important that you ran the red light? Is that text you're sending so important you didn't see the ball coming onto the road or the child that followed? Hi, I'm Mike Bryant from Bradshaw & Bryant. When you take your eyes off the road for even 4 seconds, your vehicle travels 100 yards. That's the entire length of a football field. If you absolutely have to text, you need to pull off the road somewhere safe and do it from there. Texting and driving is against the law and can cause serious injury or even death to you and others. Now that is important. We hope you're never injured in a collision, but if you are, please contact us.
Find Bradshaw & Bryant, personal injury attorneys at minnesotapersonalinjury.com.
Going farther with Mike Bryant on your side, seeking justice for the injured. Bradshaw & Bryant.
In addition to having the best selection in town, K&L Surplus and Ammo also can help you sell your firearm safely and worry-free. Very, very important. You've inherited a collection of firearms from a loved one, don't know what to do with them, or if you have guns you're no longer using, call Jim at K&L Surplus and Ammo. Jim can help you sell those firearms safely and through consignment and auction. I know Jim. He's an extremely knowledgeable guy, great guy, too. Will help you get top dollar, which is very important, of course. He will help you explore all the options and take the work and stress off of your shoulders. K&L Surplus and Ammo is on Lake Drive in Lina Lakes and open Tuesday through Saturday. You can also visit them online at www.klgunstore.com.
You're listening to the Tom Bernard Podcast.
And we're back. Zolgad, AJ, and Tevin. Let's get to sports, gents. And in the time that we have for this segment, let's talk about one team in particular, the Minnesota Timberwolves. They came back and won 113-106 against Houston. They are now 52-23. They're a half a game. They're tied with OKC. Wolves technically in second place because they have hold a tiebreaker, I think, against OKC. Half a game behind the 53-23 Denver Nuggets. I still can't get past how good this team is. And I know it's a lot of dysfunctional crap off the court, but it is hard for me as a guy who was at the first ever home game. So I watched the first game on TV. They played in Seattle, and then they came back and opened in 89 at the Metrodome against the Bulls and Michael Jordan. And, you know, other than a very brief run of success, it has been nothing but absolute crap. It is hard for me to fathom, to get my head around officially, Tevin, especially, how good this team really is.
Yeah, it feels wrong. And like now it's starting to feel normal, like, okay, we're good. But even looking at the remaining schedule, you're like, okay, well, maybe we'll lose, you know, three more games and we'll probably end up with the second seed because I think Denver has a very easy schedule remaining. OKC, not that challenging of a schedule, but has a couple games where they slip up. But you just, as a Minnesota sports fan, you feel like, when is the other shoe going to drop? And it started to happen with the injuries, but we still are beating good teams even without Karl Anthony Towns. And so if we can get him back, you know what, I'm putting my lawn chair out on Hennepin because we're going to be having a championship parade come June.
Let's okay, go. Boys, I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to tell you right now because I'm the only one on this show, perhaps who was alive for either, and it was both for me, championship parades. They don't go down Hennepin. They don't. Now they might at one point, but you know what? They go down. They go from, at least the Twins did, from downtown Minneapolis down 94 to St. Paul. Oh. So, like, your lawn chair abilities here are very, very broad.
So we're on the freeway.
So, yeah. So, in fact, right. I think one of the Twins cars in 87, one of the Twins cars, when they were on, it might have been Hennepin or 7th or not, there was so much confetti thrown that I think below the car started on fire.
Jeez.
But they eventually did. They if I recall correctly, they went down 94, at least in 87. I was in high school, and of course, like most kids, skipped that day to be there. And it went from downtown Minneapolis down 94 and then to St. Paul. So like we're clear, and if they get the Larry O'Brien trophy, we're clearing some serious damn room for this parade.
Yeah, absolutely. And Judd, what is there any other stories from the parade? As somebody that's, you know, been there, is it complete pandemonium or is it organized chaos? What's the overall vibe of the parade?
87 was pretty much, which is the one that I really recall. 87 was pandemonium, but it was great. Like, mm-hmm. It wasn't threatening. It wasn't bad, but it was nuts. It was nuts. And I don't, here's the weird thing. And I've asked, in fact, Mackie and I on Score North have done segments on this. You know, there are so many now people who weren't alive for any of the Twin success. What does a championship look like here? You know, and I'm talking about one of the major men's four sports. So like, what does, and I've always said this, one of my goals that I'd love to see, I would love to see the Vikings, because like, would this town shut down for a week? I think it might.
Yeah, you're not going to see me for a week, that's for certain. I'm going to be out in the streets, probably shirtless, screaming, running around, face painted purple.
In your Perkins costume?
Yes.
Just rolling around?
Yep. It's weird how much this team has, like, changed in about a calendar year since we had a guy punching walls and, like, they were fighting each other at the end of last season. Is it just been, like, a giant leadership change, or is it just people stepping up? Or, like, what has been the turning point now for this team, because it seems like everything is just clicking?
I think the chemistry started to gel. I think that, you know, if you go back and look, Gobert was not a fit. Like, they really struggled there. And part of the problem was, if you recall, it was earlier in the season in that case that Cat got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And Gobert also had played in a offseason tournament for France, and he was banged up, which I always hated. I hate stuff like that, international events, because they take a lot from players. So I think it was important. Gobert came in healthy. Cat got a lot of run to actually play with Gobert before he went out because of the meniscus surgery. And then, I mean, the probably the key thing is Ant. Mm-hmm. Ant's matured more. Like, I mean, he's still not a finished product, but, you know, there is no question. I think everyone agrees that he is the focal point. And so I think there was a maturity, and I think there was also a realization of just how awful this whole thing looked on their part a year ago. And it seems like people have grown up a little bit too. And Gobert, I mean, Gobert's gone from being, that looked like one of the worst trades I've ever seen, to being a really damn good fit. But I just go back to, can we get our head around the possibility, and I use that possibility, that this could be a championship type team? It's so hard for us. And ordinarily we're caught by surprise. Like the 2017 Vikings are a nice story, but if you look at that team, first of all, Bradford gets hurt, right? And then Keenum comes in, and they win 13 games, but you didn't expect it. And then they actually blew the game against the Saints and won it in glorious fashion. But that felt like a magic carpet ride.
Yep.
I think, in my opinion, even though the 2019 Twins were good and hit a ton of home runs, I think this is the most like solid I have felt about a team in this town since the Favre 2009 Vikings.
Oh yeah, the Favre,
they're really good.
The Favre Vikings, that was a team where you're like, nope, this, we can do something, and it felt like a team of destiny the whole entire year. The Timberwolves, this feels like you're saying, a little bit of a surprise, but it's also nice to know that we do have, you know, Anthony Edwards, who is young. He's going to be here for, you know, hopefully his entire career. As long as we can re-sign Cat and keep him here and kind of keep the core together, this is something that can be a year after year after year thing and put together a nice little, for Minnesota terms, a dynasty of success of just making the playoffs.
And Cat signed too. So Cat signed. The question is, can they afford to keep Cat, which does get to be a question. But I'm just, the more you watch this team, I mean, 50 plus wins, this team does not feel like a fluke.
No.
When Case Keenum is your starting quarterback and you think that you might go to a Super Bowl, I'm sorry, that feels rather fluky. It's why Favre didn't feel like a fluke. Now, Favre did rip our hearts out, and I warned people of that entire year, because I had spent 2 years covering Brett in Green Bay, and Favre ripping your heart out is what you're usually on track for. But that Vikings team was damn good as well, and I think this is the best team. The 2019 Twins, because that team sort of crept up, like you didn't see that coming necessarily. These Wolves got off to a, you know, really nice start. And ever since then, it's been like, okay, they're just good. And that's the thing, is we've got now in this town Kaprizov, who I think his team will improve around him. Justin Jefferson, and Ant. I'd be hard-pressed to think of a town that has three young talents that are as potentially dominant as the three young talents here. So we shall see. All right, let's take a break. Chris Eggert, Channel 5 Eyewitness News, joins us next.
Don't miss out on the 66th annual GSTA Rod and Custom Spectacular Car Show. It's happening on April 6th and 7th at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds Coliseum, presented by Brainerd International Raceway. Enjoy the area's finest hot rods, custom street machines, and motorcycles that'll be on display around the Coliseum. You'll be able to see cars from the original Ford drag team up close. Any kids that attend can get a free Hot Wheels car, baby, while supplies last. You can find discount tickets and more information available online at gstarod-custom.com. Don't forget about the free parking, too. Go to gstarod-custom.com.
Hi, guys. It's Chris Eggert from Channel 5 Morning News, along with my friends Megan Newquist and Ken Barlow. In the morning, we pride ourselves on sharing people's stories. I've been lucky enough to be part of this 5 Eyewitness News morning team for more than a decade now. This is where I've raised my kids and working alongside my friends for all these years. We're like a family, too.
We are family, Chris. Working with you and Ken and Hannah, it is such an honor to help folks start their day every morning on Channel 5. We get to catch people up on the news that's happening, and Hannah is here to keep an eye on the traffic around town.
And when it comes to weather, I know people rely on me to plan their day and get their family out the door. Over the last 10 years, there are so many memories and so many laughs. I just love sharing the forecast alongside you guys.
I feel the same way, Ken. To all you who start your day with us here on Channel 5, we think of you as family too. Thanks for turning on 5 Eyewitness News in the mornings.
Mike Lindell and MyPillow employees want to thank my listeners for all your continued support. To thank you, they're having an overstock clearance and new product sale right now for the best prices ever. When you use promo code TOM, you get free shipping on your entire order. You get 50% off the MyPillow 2.0. Also get 50% off the brand new flannel sheets that just arrived and won't last long. Six-pack towel sets for only $29.98. And take advantage of the free shipping on larger items such as mattresses and mattress toppers. 100% made in the USA, on sale for as low as $99.99. Everything is on sale, from the brand new kitchen towels that have the same technology as the bath towels that actually absorb, dog beds, blankets, couch pillows, and so much more. To get the best specials ever, go to MyPillow.com or call 800-516-5146. Use promo code TOM, and you can get free shipping on your entire order. So call 800-516-5146, go to MyPillow.com, and use promo code TOM.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
This is the Tom Bernard Podcast. Listen live weekday mornings 8 to 9:30 or anytime you like as a podcast on the Tom Bernard app at TomBernardShow.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back. Channel 5's Chris Eggert, brought to you by Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold. Call Josh today for your free 48-minute evaluation. 952-925-5608, 952-925. 5608 to talk to Josh. Chris, good morning. Did you happen to see Byron Buxton almost get eliminated by a sausage in Milwaukee yesterday?
I did, and I love the sausage race. I didn't get it until I went to a game over there for the first time, and I'm like, oh, like, I think that's usually, people get more excited for that sausage race than they actually do a game themselves, right?
Oh, God, yeah. You know, it's funny because it's a stereotype and it seems mean at first, but it's not. As a guy who also enjoys a beer to himself, the Wisconsin sports fan is as tied to beer as you can possibly get, right? Beers and brats. Like at first, it's like it's an insult to them until you get there and you're like, oh, no, it's not. They really do love this stuff because you're right. I don't know that there is a... I don't know that there's a mascot slash race of some sort at a ballpark that is as embedded in the fabric of the culture of that city and team as the Brewers race?
I mean, I can't think of anything we have here at any of our sport events that are even right, Tevin. I mean, I can't.
No, the only thing I've seen that's close is who's the team that does the beat the freeze? I think is it Philadelphia,
Atlanta.
You go. Yeah, where they have the guy that's
cool.
You know, runs and has somebody try to beat him. But yeah, other than that, nothing comes close.
Wouldn't that have been, like, of course, like the most Minnesota thing ever if Buxton would have been taken out by that stupid thing? And, like, it wasn't him going back for a catch. It wasn't, you know, him stealing a base or whatever. It was some dumb crap like that. So I guess we should look at it on a positive note, right?
Two months IL. How'd you get hurt? I got taken out by a sausage in the third game of the season in Milwaukee. It would have been, first of all, It would have been the most Minnesota sports thing. Second of all, unfortunately, it would have been the most Buxton thing.
Yeah, right.
Because, like, the question is, well, how's he going to get hurt next? Well, I'll tell you how he's going to get hurt next. It's going to be taken out by a damn sausage. So what's up? What's in the news today, sir?
Well, we got that trial that we're watching again over. It's in Hudson, but I should explain. It involves pretty much all Minnesota people. It happened on the Apple River a couple summers ago, but there was a guy from the south suburbs who was there and got into it with a bunch of teenagers, stabbed several of them. One of the one victim is a kid, young man who's from Stillwater who died. Yesterday, his mom was on the stand, and it was just absolutely heart-wrenching to hear that. I think it'll be. The suspect's wife is supposed to take the stand today, and she was there with him. It will be interesting to hear their account of what happened, because we haven't really heard much about that since this started. So that's one of probably the biggest story that we're working on today. And other than that, a bunch of people are stealing copper wire around St. Paul, and they're trying to figure out something to do at the state legislature to stop it from happening.
So this is for what now? Because there's obviously always an ulterior motive in these thefts.
To
sell the copper. Yeah. Okay.
And they're popping open streetlights and stuff and just ripping the crap all out of the bottom. And apparently it's there for the taking. And I guess it must not be that hard to get to. So
it's incredible. So
have you guys ever taken anything to the scrapyard?
Like, yeah, or I've not taken anything there, but have gone to like a pull apart where like they have a bunch of old cars. And you're like, oh, I need a random part, and you just go get it. Yeah. It's not like the easiest. It's a weird, strange process, and not the most easy way to make money. Like, I'm not going to rip some copper out of a light pole and then go sell it to somebody.
That's exactly right. And I went to this place. I was so proud of myself too, because we had some work done at the house, and there was a bunch of copper piping that got taken out. And the contractor was like, well, dude, you should go take that and, you know, sell it to the scrapyard. They're like, the copper's worth a lot right now. You'll probably make a decent amount of money on it. So I loaded it all up. I got there, you know, Mr. Suburban guy. Hey. And like, it's a scrapyard, dude. And so there, I pull up in my nice little car and I pull my, you know, copper piping out of the back. And meanwhile, there's like all these dudes in these big trucks and trailers and vans who got those things like loaded up like to the brim. So then I put my like seven pipes on a little on a stupid cart and push it over there. And the guy just kind of looked down at it and he looks up at me. He goes, you ever been here before? And I'm like, no. And so then he goes through the whole process and you have to like give him your driver's license. You have to go through this whole bit. Like, it's not as easy to sell this stuff as you'd think it would be. Mm-hmm. But after I sold it, I mean, I think I made a couple $100 off not that much copper. And I was like convinced I was going to become a scrapper after that. I was like, this seems like, because you always see like dishwashers and crap laying on the side of the road. Mm-hmm. Or like if you had the truck to pick it up and take it over to the scrapyard, there's money to be made.
So you're going to be turning in your blazer for a pair of like overalls and some gloves covered in grease so you can start making some money on the scrapyard?
If I could find a way to pay the mortgage on that, I would do it. It would be very exciting.
All right, Chris. My rule of thumb is this, because I'm like you. I'm a suburban guy. I'm not sure about you. I can't fix anything Like I am as a bad of handyman as it comes. Guys like me, at least, were not meant to take things to scrap yards. That's for the guys like you just said with the big trucks, the guys that can, you know, pull apart things with their hands. You know that you're not made for stuff like that when your hands look like my hands look, which are way too soft. You know, like the hardest work I've done in my life probably involves typing. So yeah, I'm not sure about you. Perhaps you're great at home. Perhaps you can fix stuff, but when it comes to handiwork around the house, no one is as bad as I am.
I kind of pretend because when I was growing up, I had all kinds of contracting jobs. I did roofing. I worked for the phone company, digging ditches. Like, you know, I've done that work, and my stepdad and his brothers are all like very good at it. I'm okay. But I can do a certain amount of it. But then I've learned now in my wisdom and age that, like, if it's too complex, just punt on it, because it's not worth something that's going to take you 2 weeks to do versus have somebody come in and do it and be done in 2 hours. It's not worth it.
Fair enough. I didn't realize. I do apologize. So you dug ditches and things like that?
Yeah, for the phone company. That was a sweet job, actually.
That sounds like hard work. That sounds like a lot of sweat.
Well, it wasn't, but I learned a lot about, like, phones and how, and of course this is old school phones. Like, we're like laying phone cable, which I guess now they're laying fiber optic cable. But I'm glad I did it. I couldn't get on a roof anymore, and I'm pretty sure I couldn't even climb up a ladder because of my stupid foot. So I don't.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah. The roofing thing scares me. Gotta be honest. I admire you. You could not. Now the digging part I would not enjoy, but I mean, certainly could try and do that. Yeah. But I have, and it's not that I'm like super scared of heights, but I don't think I could get up on a roof, especially like a home roof where it might be slanted a bit. There'd be no way.
Tevin, have you ever had a roofing experience or anything like that?
So, well, my dad building my childhood home, we were shingling the roof of the garage. He actually fell off the garage while roofing, landed on the ground, and like the man's man that he is, just kind of dusted himself off, climbed back up the ladder and finished working.
Oh my God.
But with talk about working with heights, I worked at a oil refinery in Louisiana one summer, building like the scaffolding. And so you'd go up like 350 feet up in the air. And when I got there the first day, because it was a bunch of, I worked with a lot of ex-cons down there. And the first day, the first question they asked me was, have I ever been to prison? To which I said, no. And they're like, yeah, we didn't think so. And then they go, we could tell. And then they go, are you scared of heights? And I've got all these, like, you know, big, buff, manly men. I'm like, no, I'm not scared of heights. And they're like, perfect. We got the perfect job for you. Found out that day I am terrified of heights when you're up 350 feet in the air hanging on to like a little metal pole that you're clipped onto by a little harness. Oh, it was like, God, yeah, I'm going to go back down to the ground and hang out down there where it's safe.
That's giving me anxiety just thinking about
that. I was going to say, I get that. If I see like a clip on Twitter, like a person up high or something like that, my palms sweat and I'm watching.
I do. Like, you know what flop sweat feels like? I kind of get that same like clammy thing. Mm-hmm. AJ, you been up on a roof?
Yeah, I've been up on a roof before. It's not super fun. I would like to stay down, but you know. Yeah,
did you enjoy it, AJ? That's
no.
The question.
No. It wasn't like it was a super tall building, you know. I'm not on very many houses and roofs, so when I have, it's been very low experiences, so it's not been like life altering decisions by me, but
no.
I've seen there's this one job where you basically are the person that changes the light bulb on the very top of some of these like
planes. TV towers and radio towers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Apparently people will make like $200,000 a year doing this. They basically do like two or three of these a year and they're set, but it's so dangerous because you climb up and like the slightest of breezes could knock you off and your body's going to fall like 20 feet away from the pole as soon as you let go. So that would be like the scariest job, I think, in the world. Like even more so than throw me in as a prison guard in like a riot. I'd rather do that.
I agree.
Then climb up on this super tall.
Where did that comparison come from?
I don't know. I just thought it was the scariest thing right
now. Dude, I agree with you, AJ. I would die on the way up. Like, I would have a massive heart attack because I'd start freaking out so much.
Chris, I'd psych myself out. Like, halfway up, I would freeze.
Chris, you've lived through, like, hurricanes and stuff. You could climb up there.
Yeah, I'm supposed to tell you my hurricane
What a segue. Kevin. What a segue.
There's a lot of hurricane stories, but when I worked, my wife and I worked in Orlando, and Orlando doesn't generally get hit by hurricanes. Well, in the summer of 2004, we got three hurricanes. And so we were working nonstop. My wife was in the news business then too. And so like, it was like almost probably 7 weeks straight. It was just like hurricane stuff, the buildup, the damage, the, you know, the aftermath and everything. One of the hurricanes, it was more of a rain and sort of a, some of them go through really quickly and they wipe everything out. And then they, that's it. It's like a, you know, couple hour thing, but some of them will go on for days. And this particular one was one, it was a Hurricane Jean, I believe, that lasted, Francis or Jean, it was one of the two that lasted for several days. And we were stationed in the south part of the Orlando area in Kissimmee. You guys know where Disney is and you probably heard of Kissimmee. That's the area that's just south of there. And we were south of Kissimmee, kind of out in the middle of nowhere. And the only place we could find to go, because everything's closed, mind you, and like everyone's stuck in their houses and everyone's like batting down the hatches. The only place we could go was outside this giant Walmart store. And so because we could park our truck in a way there that would sort of hide by the building. And then, you know, you just go out and basically stand in the hurricane and get, you know, rained on and blown around. And when they come to you, they come to you and you're like, you know, this is going on. And we finally got to take a little bit of a break that night. I don't know how many hours we'd been on, but we were going to be able to go in. We're going to be able to rest for like 2 hours or 2.5 hours. Well, there happened to be a manager inside the Walmart and he came out and asked us, you guys want to come inside, you can, and you can have whatever you want. And so it was the weirdest thing. There were like four of us walking around the Walmart at like 12 o'clock at night, grabbed like some warm clothes, walked over to the refrigerator section, you know, grabbed Lunchable or whatever the hell it was. And the wind was blowing so much that like the roof of the place was rattling and you were scared like any second the whole freaking thing could come apart. So the only place we could find to like rest was a break room in the back. And we laid down underneath like those big long conference tables and just laid on the floor and like slept for, it wasn't really sleeping, right? It was like, just got to lay there for a couple hours and chill. But
yeah.
Wow. Last thing, is there any point at which a TV station, especially in Florida, probably won't send reporters out into a hurricane? Like, is there any level of it that they're like, okay, you know what? We really don't need to see you out there being literally blown around.
I know that after that year, 2004, Hurricane Charlie was the first one. It came across at Punta Gorda. And there's a lot of that footage still lives today of reporters who were just getting, the roof got ripped off their hotel and a lot of them thought they were going to die. A lot of those guys got out of TV after that because they were like, nope. Like it was so intense. I think the reporter gets to use some discretion, but I'll say this, the newsrooms will send people to the storms who want to go. And there's always going to be somebody who wants to go because, I mean, you kind of go for the thrill of the job sometime and for the action. I don't want that to sound bad, but there's a lot of times a lot of guys and gals will be like, yep, absolutely, let's go. And they try to place people in relatively safe places, but I mean, it's definitely dangerous.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, sir. Great stuff. We'll talk to you tomorrow, okay?
Yeah, you guys have a good day.
Awesome stuff, Channel 5's Chris Eggert, again brought to you by Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold. Call Josh today for your free 48-minute evaluation. 952-925-5608. Back after this.
Hello, I'm Brad Huckle, President and Chief Lending Officer at North American Banking Company.
And I'm Michael Bilski, CEO at North American Banking Company.
As a locally owned and operated community bank, we work with many multi-generational businesses.
Take Personal Care Dentistry of Roseville, for example. Dr. Walter Hunt, also known as Painless to me, has been a longtime customer of the bank since we opened the bank in 1998.
When his son Kyle was ready to join the practice, they wanted to expand quickly.
With their additional space and equipment, they now are able to see more patients each day while providing the same level of care and service.
Okay, guys, I'll take it from here. If you run a family business or any kind of business for that matter, you should be banking with Brad and Mike over at North American Banking Company. Every time I deal with them or their team, I know I'm working with experienced professional bankers. So why not bank with my banker? North American Banking Company, a better banking experience, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Is that text you're sending so important that you missed your turn? Is that text you're sending so important that you ran the red light? Is that text you're sending so important you didn't see the ball coming onto the road or the child that followed? Hi, I'm Mike Bryant from Bradshaw & Bryant. When you take your eyes off the road for even 4 seconds, your vehicle travels 100 yards. That's the entire length of a football field. If you absolutely have to text, you need to pull off the road somewhere safe and do it from there. Texting and driving is against the law and can cause serious injury or even death to you and others. Now that is important. We hope you're never injured in a collision, but if you are, please contact us.
Find Bradshaw & Bryant, personal injury attorneys at minnesotapersonalinjury.com.
Going farther with Mike Bryant on your side, seeking justice for the injured. Bradshaw & Bryant.
Have you enjoyed Minnesota's non-winter this year? Want to enjoy the warmth whenever you want? Two Minnesotans can help you live that dream. Matt Carlson from Realty One Group Destination Key West grew up in Litchfield, Minnesota, started out helping his friends find homes locally and in Florida, and now he can help you. If you've considered living in the warmth of Florida, now is the time to reach out to your new friend in realty, Matt Carlson. It's a buyer's market now, and your Minnesotan friend Matt can help you with a new home here or in the Florida Keys. And if you need some guidance with financing, Kristen Eklund from Coast to Coast Mortgage can help. Kristen is Matt's preferred lender, can finance anywhere in Florida, and like Matt is one of us, as she hails from the Sartell-Alexandria area. So, if you're looking at a new home in Minnesota, or maybe that second home or retirement place in Florida, trust your new local friends, contact Matt and Kristen. Visit onekeywest.com. That's onekeywest.com, or call Matt at 612-791-2345, 612-791-2345, and work with local professionals you can trust.
This is the Tom Bernard Podcast.
Final segment for me today, Judd Zolgad from Score North. Tom out for this week. I'll be back tomorrow. Phil Mackey, also my colleague from Score North, will be in on Friday. Tevin, AJ, and all right. So, Tevin, let's start with you. Because it sounds like you've had a variety of jobs.
Yep.
What is the oddest and or job that you couldn't stand the most that you've had?
I don't know that I couldn't stand it, but definitely the oddest job to do was I sold steaks door to door across North Dakota while I was in college at NDSU. And it was an experience. We'll just say that. Going cold, like just knocking, you drive into a random town, you'd be like, oh, there's no cluster of 10 houses here. Yep. Let's knock on all 10 doors. Hey, sir, do you enjoy cooking steaks? And they go, yes, I do. Perfect. I'll be right back with this box of steaks I have in my van over here.
And did they then slam the door and that was it?
No. I mean, sometimes you'd get a couple of people that were prickly, but most people in North Dakota are at least nice enough to hear you out. And they're like, and everybody loves steak. And they're like, let me hear, see what you got.
Yeah.
And so I managed to talk my way into selling a lot of steaks to help pay for my rent in college.
That's impressive. Yeah. I will say this. I don't know if that would work today because, personally, I never get the door.
No.
If somebody knocks and I'm not expecting them, I just don't get the door.
Yeah, and people were, because you would drive kind of like this branded truck that they bolted a freezer into the inside of it, and people would be like, oh, like, because it was similar to Omaha Steaks. It wasn't that company, but it was that kind of vibe. And so I remember I was getting gas once, and somebody was like, do you have steaks in there? I was like, yes, I do. Why don't you come over here and check it out?
As a matter of fact, it sounds like you're dealing steaks.
Oh, it was, and like the pay, the way, like, so the box itself was maybe worth $60, but it had a variety of steaks. And then the owner was like, you got to try and sell them for $350 a box. And so I'm out here slanging, you know, oh, it's $350. Well, I got a great deal for you. This is my last one. I'll give it to you for $150. And like, sounds like a good deal to me. Ka-ching, ka-ching. Let's go. We're all partying. Go get a bottle of, a case of beer, and we're out. Yep.
That's great. Genius. Although I will say this too, from my more like as a kid trying to sell stuff at the time, door to door, when people did get their doors, that takes a special talent. Like if you're trying to peddle something, especially as basically a college kid / adult, mm-hmm. That takes a special, that's like, you got to be pretty good, because like my door back in the day when I did get the door would start to close almost instantly. So like to continue the spiel of, hey, I got these steaks here and then I'm going to give you a deal. That might sound simple. My guess is that's not simple.
No. And I mean, you would knock on 50 doors to try and to sell, you know, 10 cases. So you're just hearing no constantly. And it would get to the point, I remember there was an old lady. She was not going to buy these steaks from me. And I like, and let me go get them, whatever. She like keeps no, and like being very aggressive. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you don't even live here. And because I drove by like the high school and like one of like their local businesses on the way into town, I was like, ma'am, we just live down on 3rd Street. We just moved in the other day. My mom is a teacher down at the such and such school. Nice. And my dad works over here at this business. And she kind of gave me this weird look. And I was just like, I'm going to see myself out now. Like, I'm just going to go have a nice
Oh,
day.
I thought you were going to say she like reversed course completely. Oh, and
no. We were already far enough down the road of her not liking me where it wouldn't have mattered if I told her I lived in her basement. She was not going to be a fan.
H, how about you?
Let's see. The most random job I've ever had is probably I mowed the lawn of a neighbor of mine who was in Owl City, the band, like kind of famous.
Like the, what was their big song?
Fireflies.
Fireflies. There we go.
Fireflies. Yeah. Just randomly. And their band was a weird setup and I guess still is technically cause it's they're still making music, but you have the main guy, his name is like Adam. And then everybody else is like, just not important from my understanding. And he was one of the not important, like he played the drums, he played the keyboard, he played a lot of stuff. And the fact that he lived 5 houses down from where my parents' house is weird because it's not a great neighborhood. Like it's nice-ish, but it's like compared to like a lot of my friends, I look like it's just not a great spot. So it was very weird. So I didn't mow it all too much. It was like, hey, we're going to Europe for a couple months to play shows. Just hit it up every once in a while when you think it looks long. I think I did it like twice or 3 times. Then he gave me way more money than I probably should have gotten for it. Mm-hmm. The one job that I couldn't stand, though, in college, I worked at the gym facility desk at Hollenbeck Hall of St. Cloud State. And the job itself was fine. You're just pretty much swiping membership cards. You're getting people signed up to use the gym, use the athletic hall. But the problem is there was one shift that everybody dreaded. It was closing down the actual like athletic building any night of the week. Because if it's a Tuesday, Wednesday, people are in there super late and they never want to leave. So it's 10:30. Guys, hey, I need all of the basketballs. I need all of your racquetball gear. I need all of the stuff that you've rented out. I need it back. Nope. Sorry. Hey, we're still playing. Cause like, what am I intimidating? No. What am I going to do in reality?
You need a bouncer type.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you just shut the lights off?
Well,
that's what I would do.
That's the thing. It's like, I start doing that. And then they're like, well, we're just going to walk out the doors on the other side of this giant hall, this athletic complex. And you're just never going to see your basketball again. Because a lot of the time too, people would sneak in. And so it's just like, dealing with people that didn't go to St. Cloud State, Because that was like the one thing mm-hmm. you needed to do is just literally attend the college. The amount of people, it was 50-50. And then some people have IDs. Some people are like sneaking people into the side doors. It was way too much me running around when it should have just been sitting at a desk, swiping IDs and just saying, hi, how are you? And that's it. So
they didn't need like a swipe card or something at the time?
No, that's
you
the thing.
You just walk in?
And that's the thing. They did. But, yeah. But the amount of terrible structure because there's like 17 doors just around the facility.
Well, it is St. Cloud Age. So.
Exactly. But like so many of them are like out of my vision. So as long as I, you know, you'd see one person walk behind mm-hmm. a corner and abracadabra, poof, seven people reappear.
Yeah. And well, then too, it's also because at NDSU, we kind of had the same setup. And depending on who was working the front desk, you didn't need your ID. They're like, I'm just here because I need to collect a check before I go back to class.
Yeah.
Go on in. Don't cause any trouble. So yeah, I definitely feel bad for you.
Yeah, that job sounds like hell.
What about you, Judd? Any out there jobs?
I don't think I've. You know, what's weird is, you know, I started at the Star Tribune as an egg clerk at the time, what they called it when I was 19. So I've never really had. I'm always interested in out there jobs. I can tell you right now, though, the day that you took that job and actually had to go way up to do work, had to go to great heights.
Yeah.
I think I would take one look at that and be like, yeah, I can't do this job.
Oh, yeah.
I can't do this. No, thank you.
No, that's, yeah, not going to be signing up for that. There was one day, because, like, depending on where we were in the facility, like, if you hit a certain pipe, like, natural gas would leak out and you could pop. Like, I remember there was a complex, you know, 100 miles away that was similar to ours that had blown up mm-hmm. because there's just all the whatever. It's just dangerous. And so there was one day somebody was trying to put together the scaffolding and they threw the thing because they couldn't reach their arm in and it clipped a pipe and it happened to be just like an air release valve or something, but we didn't know what it was and it started spraying what looked like fumes everywhere. And so I've never seen a group of 20 men. Like, I ran the fastest 40-yard dash I think I've ever ran in my life that day.
I was going to say, you probably just, took off.
Yeah, and then when you're done, you realize. When you're done, you realize, like, oh, we would have blown up immediately. We wouldn't have had time to run away, but thought we were going to die that day.
Oh, my God. All right, guys, I will talk to you tomorrow. Andy up next to take you home. Thanks for watching the Tom Bernard Morning Show.
When you go to a restaurant, you expect the chef to be an expert. You expect your auto mechanic to be an expert when it comes to fixing your car. You judge them both by the results of their work. Josh Arnold is an expert in investments and planning your financial future. Josh Arnold is my expert, and he should be yours, too. I talk to Josh every week, and he understands the market and the economy, and he knows how to plan for your retirement. Don't put it off another day. The man with your plan is Josh Arnold. Call Josh now for a no-obligation 48-minute evaluation. You've got nothing to lose, and you'll have an expert planning and managing your financial future. Call Josh at 952-925-5608. That's 952-925-5608. Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC Security Investment Advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice. Tom Bernard is a paid endorser.
The past several years have been the craziest in the history of the car business. The pandemic, supply chain and chip issues, all causing extreme inventory shortages that led to, predatory pricing. Some dealers charge thousands of dollars over MSRP.
We never played that game. I'm Jim Paul of Valley Buick GMC. We knew that would leave a bad taste in a customer's mouth. More importantly, from an integrity standpoint, it was just wrong.
So what about the current market? You know, inventory and pricing.
Valley has their best inventory in years. Really all the Buick and GMC models. Even the previously hard-to-find Yukons, HD pickups, and Hummer EVs. Plenty of deep discounts. Many with factory rebates and low-interest financing.
Then it's a good time to buy?
It's a great time. We're welcoming our previous customers back, as well as anyone else that felt the treatment just didn't feel right the last time somewhere else.
Valley Buick GMC in Apple Valley and Hastings or valleycardealers.com. Car buying without the bad aftertaste.
In addition to having the best selection in town, K&L Surplus and Ammo also can help you sell your firearms safely and worry-free. Very, very important. You've inherited a collection of firearms from a loved one, don't know what to do with them, or if you have guns you're no longer using, call Jim at K&L Surplus and Ammo. Jim can help you sell those firearms safely and through consignment and auction. I know Jim. He's an extremely knowledgeable guy, great guy, too. Will help you get top dollar, which is very important, of course. He will help you explore all the options and take the work and stress off of your shoulders. K&L Surplus and Ammo is on Lake Drive in Lina Lakes and open Tuesday through Saturday. You can also visit them online at www.klgunstore.com.
You're listening to the Tom Bernard Podcast.
All right, guys, we are back. Just to clear up a few things, Andy is actually out today. He had a family illness that was going on that he has to take care of, and so there will be no family show as well. But we do have a special guest. I'm very excited. I never realized, AJ, how big a fan I am until I was going through and kind of listening to some of his old music and seeing that he's got new music coming out as well. But we have Jesse McCartney, most notably for singing Beautiful Soul, Leavin, which was a number one Billboard charting or chart-topping single in 2008. I also found out he wrote Bleeding Love by Leona Lewis, which is a great song. He's done songs with T-Pain, Ludacris. He's been now featured on Minnesota's own Young Gravy's new song, Make a Baby, that came out earlier this year, which is a bop. Definitely, yes, listen to it if you haven't. So we have Jesse McCartney on the phone. Jesse, how are you doing?
Tom, how's it going, man?
Man, it's good. I like being somebody who is about your age and kind of living through the, you know, obviously the Bieber fever, who kind of came after you, but you kind of were the first pop star of my age that all the girls went crazy for. And so it's definitely an honor to have you on. And now you're promoting your EP that's coming out April 5th. And then you're also kicking off a 24-city U.S. tour. Are you coming to Minneapolis at all on the tour?
Absolutely. I'll be in Minneapolis. I'm not sure of the date, but if you go to my website or you go online, I'm sure you can find it. But super looking forward to Minneapolis, one of my favorite towns.
Man, that's awesome. No, any chance we bring Young Gravy out to perform that song with him or no?
I talked to him about it, and you know, he's promoting his album, and he's traveling a lot too. But I think if there is a show that he would come to, it would probably be Minneapolis and maybe L.A., because I know he's in L.A. now, too. But, yeah, I mean, I'm in touch with him, and I'm going to try and have him make an appearance.
That's awesome. So as obviously being somebody that's been doing music for, you know, your entire life, and was about, I would say, 25, 30 years now at this point, what has kind of been the difference from being kind of a young superstar and bursting onto the scene, and then now kind of as an adult creating music? Is it tough to kind of figure out different ways to relate to fans, or is it just kind of the natural progression of music in your career?
It's both. I mean, you find new ways to market and sell and advertise your music. Obviously, I think the Young Gravy collaboration is a great example of like bridging the generational gap of young fans who may not be familiar with my music, but really do know Gravy and you know, his audience. So, you know, that's an example, but you know, I think more than anything, what's changed is just my songwriting and growing and knowing more things and understanding how relationships work. It just makes you a stronger writer. It makes you sharper. And, you know, you can definitely hear it, I think, in the music. When you listen to some of my early stuff compared to now, it's changed quite a bit. And, you know, I love being able to work with really creative people who can teach me things. And I think as long as you are open to constantly learning, you just keep getting better.
We're talking to Jesse McCartney here. April 5th, All's Well, his newest EP, kicking off a 24-city tour the following week. Joining us in Minneapolis May 4th at the Fillmore. Tickets are on sale now. Jesse, can you tell us about All's Well? Where's kind of the emotion? What's the kind of underlying like emotions on this EP that you're releasing? What went into it and kind of what's it all about?
Went into this in the beginning of 2023, and I had been listening to a lot of vinyl, specifically like Hall and Oates and DeBarge, and I wanted to do something sort of old school and Blue Eyed Soul and funky. And so I started writing, and the first song that I wrote was a song called Faux Fur, which is kind of has that very 70s feel, particularly in the chorus. And I think what really crystallized it was the fact that we tracked everything live in the studio, which is, you know, I haven't done that in many years, but we recorded everything with a live rhythm section, live horns, live strings. And I think it really brings an authenticity to that time in music and something you don't hear a lot in pop anymore. And it just makes the music sound really rich sounding. And so I'm really proud of it. The producers crushed and, you know, just made it sound what it is. And, you know, I'm really excited to get these songs up on their feet on stage for this tour. It's a super energetic show, super, you know, up-tempo. twist.
And with, you know, kind of wanting to take your sound in a little bit of a new direction and with this new EP, when you do go on tour, are you going to mix in some of the classics? Like, can we expect to hear Leavin' on tour as well? Or is it going to be leave that stuff in the past and just kind of play stick to your newer music?
Oh, of course. No, you can't not play Leavin'. That's like, you know, one of the hits. So we play, I try to make it, you know, I hate as a consumer, like as somebody who attends concerts, mm-hmm. I hate when artists just play their new stuff and leave the old stuff in the past. I think it's, you know, it's silly to not appreciate the songs that got you to that position and keep the audience coming back. So we play all the old stuff, that, all the old songs and the hits that people know and love. And I sprinkle in a few of the new things for me to keep it fun and exciting. But you'll get a nice, you know, catalog from the beginning to end of my career while I'm up there on stage.
Kind of going back to maybe your early days with music, you were kind of the up and coming future face of like the pop scene. Now that you have kind of transitioned into the mainstay name of it, looking at maybe the younger generation, who do you see as maybe somebody that's following kind of in that same path and footsteps that you were once in, you know, maybe 15, 20 years ago?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, I love that this singer, Max, he had that big song, Turn the Lights Down Low, which I think is incredible. And he's like a great example of the new generation singing great pop music, has an incredible voice, and really maximizing his audience by the power of social media. He and I just did a little, you know, it's funny, like now you meet up and instead of writing sessions, you do content sessions where you shoot videos for TikTok and Instagram. We did that last week, and he's just a great guy. He's one of my favorite young artists who I think is just doing such a great job and really, you know, leading the way in pop today.
No, it's nice to hear you say positive things about the younger generation. I feel like the entertainment industry kind of in general, a lot of times you'll hear, well, you know, kids these days don't make the music like I did back in the day. So it is nice and refreshing to hear you show support for your fellow artists that are much younger. But kind of going back to your origin story, you have a theater background as well, where you were in most notably All My Children. Was theater and acting the first love, or was music your first love?
Well, theater was definitely the first love. I think, you know, my parents were both very musically inclined. They were both theater actors in the 70s and 80s in New York, and I was raised in a very musical household where we just constantly surrounded by great, you know, productions, and they would take me to the theater, and I would watch incredible, you know, performances growing up. And so I think I was 9 years old was my first professional job. I did The King and I, the national Broadway tour of The King and I with Haley Mills. And that was sort of how I cut my teeth, was in theater and on the stage. And it sort of snowballed into other things. But I was like this working child actor. I'd go into the city. I'd audition for things like All My Children or just like, you know, commercials, Kraft macaroni and cheese, like, you know, silly things that sort of, you know, gave me the stepping stone to get where I am now. But, you know, my first love was definitely with theater. But I think ultimately I don't really have a preference. I love acting and I love voice work. As long as I can perform and find new ways to be creative, then I'm a happy guy.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I know you got to get out of here quick. But if you do, when you are here in Minneapolis at the Fillmore in May, if you hear somebody scream singing Leavin' from the back, it's probably going to be me. So we're definitely looking forward to having you here. Can you tell people where to find you at, where to find tickets and find you online?
First of all, you better not be in the back. You better be front row.
Okay, front row. That's my bad.
That's what I'm excited.
That's my bad. Front row is for sure.
Yeah. You guys can, they can go on my website and go to justinmccartney.com. All the list of all the tour dates are up now. And, check out the EP. It drops April 5th, All's Well. And hopefully I'll see you guys out on tour.
Awesome. We are looking forward to it. Thank you so much for stopping by and have a great rest of your day.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you. Jesse McCartney, ladies and gentlemen, such a cool guy and a great creator of music. AJ, were you a fan of Jesse back in the day?
Oh my God, how could you not be? Dude. Like he had the hits. He was the guy. It was like him and I feel like maybe Aaron Carter were like the two existential. That was pop music back in the day. And for everybody, once again, with the info, April 5th, All's Well, Jesse's latest EP is dropping. He'll be kicking off a 24-city tour the following week. And for those of you in the Twin Cities, Minnesota area, May 4th, he'll be at the Fillmore. Tickets are on sale now. On our production meeting, my computer crapped out during that interview, so
we
can't really go to a break as of right now.
Okay,
so
well,
while it reboots, let's just riff
this
a little bit.
This show is brought to you ad-free by our crashed computer. But Jesse McCartney as well, because it was him and Justin Bieber were the big ones, like when I was in like middle school, high school. And so it wasn't really cool to listen to Justin Bieber and Jesse McCartney, because that was like, you know, all the girls love him and we have to hear about him all the time.
Yes.
With a little haircut and everything. But secret, deep down, I was listening to Jesse McCartney back in the day, of course.
How could you not be? Like, it, and it feels weird because looking back, being a fan of that maybe was like, that wasn't like the cool thing for a guy. Like you said, you had his music on the drive here. I'm going to be jamming out to it on the drive over to the office after the show here. It's so good. It just hits that part of your brain that it's like, yes, with like every part's moving, every part's shaking. Like you can't resist it.
Yeah. It's very feel good. So yeah, May 4th, I think I'm definitely going to have to talk to my girlfriend, be like, hey, I don't care if you like Jesse McCartney or not, but we are going to this show.
Right? How could you not? It's just going to be too easy not to.
But yeah, no. Do we have any messages from the listeners at all? Let me scroll through here. Is anybody even listening? That's the next question.
That is a good question. Let me ask you this. Who did you have growing up kind of backing off the Jesse McCartney, maybe Aaron Carter? Was there somebody growing up that you loved listening to? You couldn't deny that their music was the greatest, but you were like, if anybody ever found out that you had this person on your iPod Shuffle, your iPod Nano, it would be the end of you.
I don't know if I have a guilty pleasure, but I was obsessed with Lil Bow Wow.
Oh, my God.
Like, obsessed. Like, to the point where I told my mom, like, hey, if for some reason you're no longer with us, I don't want to go live with Grandma. I want to go live with Lil Bow Wow and his family in Ohio. Like, I had cornrows. I thought I was like, I'm trying to be Lil Bow Wow's brother.
That whatever happened to him?
He was making music when he got older, and then he hosted 106 in Park. Yeah, he hosted a show on BET, but he kind of got more into acting and less into music. But yeah, that was definitely, I thought I was Lil Bow Wow. What about you? Was there any guilty pleasure songs? Linkin Park, I guess, was another one that I listened to that not a lot of people thought were cool, but they were still popular.
Is that a guilty pleasure? I don't know if that's guilty pleasure, though.
I don't know. I feel like being black, it's a guilty pleasure. That's not like, I'm not their demographic, but I grew up in a white town, so I was like, yeah, I like Linkin Park.
I hear you. I kind of just had normal stuff around the household, but nowadays, like I think I've been on the Carly Rae Jepsen hype train for a long time. Like,
okay,
I just her music is like, I don't know, it's just kind of like hits me.
It goes beyond Call Me Maybe, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and that's the thing that makes me mad about that, is because she has such a bad rap for that one song that came out in the very early part of her career. If you go listen to like Psychedelic Switch or whatever off her latest album, that song is an absolute hit. It might be my song of the summer 2 years in a row because it's so good.
Yeah. Okay.
But anyways, great news. My computer's working again.
Look at us.
So we're going to take a quick break here at Tom Bernard Morning Show, Tom Bernard Podcast. We'll be right back with the entertainment queen herself, Kristen Burt, right after this.
Let's take a second to talk about my bank, North American Banking Company. If you own a business or are thinking about starting one, make sure to check out my friends at North American Banking Company. When your business is looking to capitalize on an opportunity or solve a problem, turn to their experts because they are locally owned and operated. Loan decisions are made here in the Twin Cities, not shipped out of state. This helps business owners expand with confidence. So, if you're looking for a better banking experience, why not bank with my friends at North American Banking Company? Go to nabankco.com to learn more. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Hi guys, it's Chris Eggert from Channel 5 Morning News, along with my friends Megan Newquist and Ken Barlow. In the morning, we pride ourselves on sharing people's stories. I've been lucky enough to be part of this 5 Eyewitness News morning team for more than a decade now. This is where I've raised my kids and working alongside my friends for all these years. We're like a family too.
We are family, Chris. Working with you and Ken and Hannah, it is such an honor to help folks start their day every morning on Channel 5. We get to catch people up on the news that's happening, and Hannah is here to keep an eye on the traffic around town.
And when it comes to weather, I know people rely on me
to plan their day and get their family out the door. Over the last 10 years, there are so many memories and so many laughs. I just love sharing the forecast alongside you guys.
I feel the same way, Ken. To all you who start your day with us here on Channel 5, we think of you as family too. Thanks for turning on 5 Eyewitness News in the mornings.
The new Tom Bernard Show is proud to have partners like Bradshaw & Bryant, MyPillow, and North American Banking Company founder, chairman, and president, Mike Bilski.
I've advertised on Tom's show for years, and the reason is simple. My business is recognized because of the ads, and that recognition has created growth. What business doesn't want to grow? I highly recommend the Tom Bernard Morning Show for your advertising.
Grow results for your business by partnering with the Tom Bernard Show. Visit TomBernardShow.com, keyword partner. You're listening to the Tom Bernard Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back and introducing Kristen Burt, Entertainment News, which is brought to you, as always, by North American Banking Company. Go to NABankCo.com to learn more. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Kristen, the bright spot to our day. How are you doing?
Top of the morning to you.
So I want to ask you about a weird Hollywood story that I saw this morning about Angie Harmon, who said an Instacart driver shot her dog. Are you familiar with Angie Harmon, the actress and model?
Yes, Rizzoli and Isles is probably where a lot of people would know her from. And Law and Order, she did Law and Order for quite a while, too. This is one of those stories that I hate to click on because I hate to hear anything about animals. And obviously the situation. Now, what I think is kind of interesting in this, the Instacart driver said that they were being attacked by the dog. She is saying she believes that he deliberately shot the dog because he just kept on saying, well, shot your dog. Look at me, shot your dog. Mm-hmm. And of course, her Ring doorbell had run out of its charge.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. So they didn't capture everything. The Instacart driver, who, by the way, was working under somebody else's name. I don't know if it was a family member or something else. That's a little shady. Instacart has let the driver go. I don't know if they'll ever get true answers to this, but the cops have decided not to press any charges because he said it was self-defense.
Okay. Well, that's, like you, I hated to try and click on the story, but I was like, it's such a bizarre headline to read. I was like, I got to at least look into it a little bit. But on a happier note, is there anything good coming out in streaming that's not death of a dog related?
Death of a dog. Well, last night I went and saw Monkey Man, which is coming out on Friday. Yeah.
Dev Patel.
Yeah. Perfect. He wrote it, directed, starred in it. So he took on like a really big job on this. And I will tell you, first of all, not my genre of film, just in that it's a thriller, but there's a lot of violence to it. Mm-hmm. So my one probably negative note is if you're someone who is sensitive to violence and a lot of blood, it may not be the movie for you. Or you can go and see a really solid movie and just look away at some of the violence, because that's what I had to do at certain points. I was like, oh, no, I can't look anymore.
Yeah, and like, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, no, sorry. I thought you were done.
I just wanted to say, like, it is visually stunning in terms of, like, the colors, the sights, the sounds of India, and I thought he did that really well.
And wasn't this a film that Jordan Peele actually, like, bought out from, like, some streaming or some company? So because he saw how much, like, maybe promise and just heart and soul and, like, the vision that was there to prop it up and get it, like, in theaters?
Yeah, it's amazing that he saw this was going to go straight to streaming. And I think it's going to be a pretty big hit this weekend, honestly, at the box office. It was that type of film. And we were in a theater of entertainment journalists, so the most jaded bunch you can possibly imagine. And this is always sort of the litmus test when people are actually cheering, laughing, because it is pretty heavy at times. And then there's moments of levity, which you absolutely need. And people are like, yeah, or like giggling in a moment. That's a little bit of dark comedy. And I just thought that that's probably what Jordan saw in all of that, and which I think some of Jordan Peele's movies have that tone to it as well. So I think he just thought it was like the right fit. And some of the directing shots, I know this sounds like so artsy, but some of the directing shots that Dev chose are so beautiful and stunning. It's just intriguing to watch. And I'm someone who loves Southeast Asian culture, and I love that this is getting a spotlight, because I don't think we get to see a lot of India in a sort of thriller action film with a really strong story that ties back to their religion and their history. It was really good.
Do you think this is a movie that could potentially kind of catapult and thrust Dev Patel back into like the Hollywood spotlight? Because for me, it's such a weird career trajectory for him, where his first like major role was Slumdog Millionaire. I want to say in 08 that, I mean, that movie won Best Picture. And then the next big role was like, I believe on a TV show where he wasn't the main character, or it was the M. Night Shyamalan Last Airbender in like 2 years later. And then he hasn't really had that like that spotlight. I feel like he should be on the same level as like a Tom Holland, Timothy Chalamet, who I want to ask about his stalker that got arrested here at some point before your segment ends.
Well, and that's the thing too. I really think Dev should have a bigger career than he has had. I mean, he's worked, but I think that he deserves the spotlight. And taking on this project, I think really has made probably a big difference. This might be something that propels him back to that next level. And having Jordan Peele in his back pocket certainly doesn't hurt. Dev, besides being a good actor, he's handsome. You know, I think like he's the type of guy, like men like him, women like him, which is exactly what you want. You want someone that appeals to kind of across the board. And he does have that ability to go back into that like Oscar level award show type of movies if he wants to.
AJ, sorry, you were saying who?
Oh, yeah. So I saw that Timothy Chalamet had a stalker or some, and I say stalker, that's because if you're arrested outside of somebody's like apartment or home, I'm going to kind of label it as a stalker. But somebody that runs like a fan page for him was arrested recently. Is there anything that maybe came from that? Is this like a non-story, or this is something that I saw from multiple outlets kind of on Twitter in the past couple of days?
Oh, you know, I haven't even heard of the story. So
okay,
honestly,
I apologize.
No, nothing to apologize about. So, but I would love to know more because it's kind of, I mean, we're reaching a level of accessibility that, you know, a lot of fans take to the next level, unfortunately, if they find out like that a star is like, oh, they're dining at this place right now. And it's why a lot of celebrities have stopped posting in real time. They won't post their photos or videos until after they've left the venue because security has really become an issue. Another thing, filming in your house, not a great idea, especially if you're a celebrity, because now you know access points and where people can get in. And I know that recently, and this just is reality stars, and you think about like reality stars are one level, A-list is a total other level. Mm-hmm. A lot of the A-list star, reality stars that have bought homes recently have been begging outlets and even TikTok fan pages to stop posting the interior of the home once they've purchased it and it was on MLS and they're pulling the photos. They're like, please don't post this. I'm a single person, I live alone. I really don't want people to know how my rooms are laid out.
Yeah, well, that's like the Bling Ring documentary from the string of robberies where like everybody in LA was getting robbed because they were like, oh yeah, we just like saw that they posted their out of town on some trip, or they were posting pictures of their inside of their house. So we knew we got to go in and how to get in and steal all their stuff. So people are always looking for a way to, you know, take something from a celebrity.
100%. And the Bling Ring hit the celebrities' homes multiple times, which was even worse. But like Rachel Bilson, Paris Hilton, Lindsay Lohan. I mean, and it was kind of crazy, like the way it all played out. But home invasions in Los Angeles, I feel like they've tapered off a little bit. But a couple of years ago, people were actually invading homes while the celebrities were home, which is even scarier.
Yeah, because you never at that point. You don't know what their intentions are. Were they expecting just, you know, is it this going to be a robbery gone bad where now all of a sudden, you know, a famous celebrity gets murdered? And so, yeah, it's terrifying. I couldn't imagine being in that type of spotlight.
And as a woman, you start thinking about, you know, sexual assault and things like that, which gets really scary. AJ, do you have an update on the Timothy Chalamet? I was hoping you were looking it up.
Yeah. So it looks like TMZ reported about a day ago that Twitter user Club Chalamet was arrested outside of Timothy Chalamet's New York City apartment earlier in the afternoon. So it seems like, and I don't have too many details on it, but it seems like it's somebody who runs like a fan account on Twitter, kind of following his happenings. And one of those to like keep an update on, like, if you're a fan of Timothy Chalamet, guess what? He got coffee this afternoon, that type of thing. Like, a little too close. Maybe their reporting was a little too in-depth, and so it sounds like an arrest had to be made.
You know what this makes me think of is Taylor Swift and the college student that's been tracking her private jet yep. and her whereabouts, and that is public record. So, you know, he's in the right in terms of that. But it is a little stressful when you know that people are tracking your every move. And obviously, we know that the intensity around someone like Taylor Swift is even greater now that she's dating Travis Kelce. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think that celebrities do deserve privacy. They do. Yeah. I know a lot of people are like, but you're a celebrity. No, if they're eating a meal with their family, guess what? Do not go up to their table. No. But if they're working a red carpet, absolutely. You're allowed to ask for a photo. Mm-hmm. So I just think that the line needs to be drawn. And some fan pages, and we see this on TikTok, we see this on Twitter, see it on Instagram. They really go, it's that like unhinged level of fan base that you go, oh gosh, this isn't healthy.
Yeah. And even like, so like the guy that tracks or person that tracks Taylor Swift's private jets, like that could be something that, you know, okay, just all good intentions. She's on her way. We know her jet just landed because she's on a tour in Singapore and, you know, she's on her way to the hotel. But then it's like other people that are in the peripherals now have access to that as well. And so it's, yeah, very scary because you don't, like, if you're Taylor Swift, I mean, she's got a ton of security, but people can still, you know, run up on her and find her and wherever she's at, like, she was on a beach with Travis Kelce and somebody's got aerial shots of them laying on the beach. It's like, there's no end to what they go through.
And I feel like it's a weird, like 50-50, like side of the coin where on one thing, yeah, it's they're people, let them kind of be their own thing. Mm-hmm. But like, from my understanding, the college kid you're referring to also does the same thing for like Elon Musk and his private jet trips. Cause it's public information. So mm-hmm. like if people really, really wanted to know, they could just go to the same website, pull the information. Well, he's just like broadcasting it on an automated, hey, we just got this update. Here's what's going on. So it's a weird move to like somehow like police private jet usage while also you are putting them in a weird spot where now people know exactly the area of where they are.
Yeah. And 100%. I assume it's got to be kids that are parts of these fan accounts because I can't think of a celebrity that I'm so obsessed with that I need to like go follow them around. Like I got to go to work. Like I don't got time to track Taylor Swift.
I got cats to feed.
It's funny you say that because the picture associated with the Timothy Club Chalamet person mm-hmm. is like a middle-aged woman.
Really?
Like she looked like she was like in her 40s or 50s.
It's often people with time on their hands. You know, maybe it's someone who is a homemaker and maybe mm-hmm. has a little bit of time. Her kids might be older. Like you think about that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it is someone who becomes obsessed. Sometimes people really don't mean any harm, but they've become sort of drawn or addicted to the attention that the fan base is giving them. Because if she's following mm-hmm. Timothy Chalamet around, she's like, I've got the inside scoop. And then she becomes the go-to person. And that in and of itself can be addicting, even if she means absolutely no harm to Timothy.
Yeah. And is that so kind of how some people think they get their start in like being an entertainment reporter, for example, where they're like, I just got to maybe pick the best known celebrity. And now if I get all their inside scoops, maybe I get hired and I can follow other celebrities around and report other news.
Yeah. And people see the opportunities of making money with mm-hmm. brands and things like that. And there is a danger there because people will be like, someone slid into my DMs. And I think of Demois. And if I don't know if people know what Demois is, but it is an unverified celebrity gossip Instagram account that started during the pandemic. And people would send in just like celebrity sightings and mm-hmm. like inside scoop of what, you know, their encounters with celebrities. And then it turned into a full-on gossip site. Now, she always says that it is unverified. So it could be true. It could also not be true. And sometimes where there's smoke, there's fire. But other times it is so completely wrong. And it can be very detrimental to the celebrity if you're spreading around gossip that is harmful maybe to their family or to their career. And you have to be really careful on situations like that. But you know, she'll take scoop from like DMs and emails and things like that. And if I'm someone like, let's just pretend I had a vendetta against you, Tevin, mm-hmm. I could just make something up and do, you know, be like, oh, I'm going to break Tevin and his girlfriend up and like make something up. Well, that's not helpful to you.
No. Well,
is it?
No. And it's funny that you said that break up me and my girlfriend, because I saw a K-pop star. I don't know which one, but allegedly he started dating some girl. his fans were all like, we don't like her. And so he broke up with his girlfriend because he was like, my fans don't like you and I got to make this money. So,
oh gosh,
that's insane.
That putting fame over your love life is really a recipe for disaster.
Well, who's Ninja, the famous video game, professional video game player? He was dating some beautiful model and she didn't like the fact that he played video games so much. And so he was like, yeah, you got to go because this is why I'm famous. And so I can't.
No, you're thinking of Doug Sensor Martin. He was dating this Mexican like weather lady.
Yeah.
Who was like super famous. And then, yeah, he was just like, I need to focus more on playing Call of Duty because that's my profession. So they broke up.
That's hilarious. Yeah. I guess while prioritizing the dollars over the girl, you know, that's what happened.
Any big news on things coming to streaming later today?
Today I did write the list of like what's coming out today. Oh, you know, for anyone who's a big fan of the solar eclipse that is coming up, I think on Monday, Nova has a big special. So anyone who wants to nerd out on that, let me tell you, I did the partial eclipse last October in Palm Springs, and it's pretty cool. We're only getting a partial eclipse here in California, but I might crank out my my little eclipse glasses again just to see what I can check out. Grey's Anatomy has been renewed for season 21 for those of you guys who are hanging in there.
How?
I don't know. I quit after about season 6 or 7. It was a good show, but I was like, I think I'm good. There's only so many emergencies. And the one thing, and I mentioned this yesterday, the college admissions scandal. Felicity Huffman, finally, 5 years later after college admissions scandal, has nabbed her first big role. She'll be a guest star, but I think they're testing the waters for actually a full-time role on the show for Criminal Minds Evolution. She will be headed, that's a Paramount Plus show. And she's been talking a lot about it. Earlier this year, she said it totally destroyed my career 100%, where Lori Loughlin, who was also involved in the college admissions scandal, got more jail time, was deeper involved in the college admissions scandal, has pretty much been working regularly on Great American Family, which is, you know, based off of Christian and family values, a real religious, faith-based network. And they kind of embraced her and took her back. So...
she just wanted to see her kids live their best life.
And their rowing, their crew career. Like they had put them on a rower.
Although as someone who is recruited as a college athlete, the rowing team, like if you're trying to pick one sport to say like my kid's going to be a rower, like they send letters to everybody. Like the rowing team, they didn't even have to pretend to be on the rowing team. They could have just called the coach and got in the boat. Like, they would have recruited everybody. So, yeah.
I know. Olivia Jade was tiny enough. I'm like, she probably could have been a coxswain. So that's why I was like, why even make that up and like put her on a rowing machine? Because she would have been a great coxswain at the front of the boat. I don't know. Because I was like, I would have been a good coxswain.
Is that the person with the megaphone that just like yells?
Yeah. And you want someone small and lightweight. And that would have been Olivia Jade. So I don't even know why they bothered to be like, oh, she likes to row crew.
It's just her with her megaphone.
Yeah, just like, hey, I got a nice loud voice.
I like it. Well, is there anything else that we need to be aware of coming from Hollywood before we call it a day?
Before we call it a day, let me just, yes, this one quick thing. Jennifer Lopez, you know, she's got her tour coming out and ticket sales have been terrible. She canceled 7 dates. And then they still weren't selling. So she has rebranded the entire tour. So instead of it being This Is Me Now, she's like, This Is Me Now / The Greatest Hits Tour. Because she wants people didn't respond well to her new album. So she wants people to know you are going to get everything. You're going to get Jenny from the Block and, you know, anything else you can possibly imagine because people don't want Jennifer Lopez. Now they want her then.
Did you see the clip? Which I don't know how this saw the light of day of everybody. Basically they're running through a list of who she asked to be on that in that movie that they did. And it's like, this person's busy. This person said no. And she's just like, I want people who want to do it. Not that feel well, J-Lo, I had to break it in. Nobody wants to do it. Like you just went through a list of like 20 people and everybody said no.
Yeah.
They're like hard pass.
She was a big star, but I don't consider her like feel like she's known more for her music. She's more of like, oh, she's known to be like a model, like very attractive, a personality, not necessarily her ability to go entertain.
Yeah, I mean, in the early aughts, like when she came, like On the Six was a huge album. And at the time, it was like Jennifer Lopez was of the moment. But I think like, and this kind of falls into the sort of the death of celebrity culture. Like people just don't buy into celebrities the way they used to. And I think trying to do everything and be everything all at once and sell your relationship to the public all the time, it's tough. And she's a really good actress. If you go back and watch Selena, if you watch Out of Sight, she's really good. And she's doing the movie musical Kiss of the Spider Woman, which was a Chita Rivera Broadway hit back in the day. I think like that could be a possible, if it's done well, Oscar type of entry where it's like a La La Land or a Chicago where people are like, oh, my God, this is an amazing movie musical. I think if she stays focused in on what she's capable as an actress and does less of the try hard stuff, people will embrace her.
Yeah, hopefully the tour goes well. Tell her to bring Ja Rule with. Then we'll then we're getting tickets. There we go. Yeah. What's Love or Mesmerize? Yeah. Oh, God, like she was good back in the day, but I don't think she has that cult like following where it's gonna fill stadiums today.
No, and nobody wants to hear about her love with Ben Affleck, to be honest. Like it's great. Like Bennifer 2.0. I'm so glad it worked out for you. You're happily married, we hope. And that's it. That's all we need to hear. I don't think Ben wants to even talk about it. He just wants to live his life and drink his Dunkin' and smoke his cigarettes.
Awesome. Well, thank you for the, as Tom would say, brilliant report, as always. We look forward to talking to you tomorrow. And, oh, we got to let's redo the job, pay some bills. Kristen Burt, Entertainment News is brought to you by North American Banking Company. Go to nabankco.com to learn more. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Kristen, we will talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds good. I'll see you then.
See you. And AJ, do you have any parting words of wisdom for the listeners?
You know, no, I don't. And for everybody out there saying, God, this 30 minutes, just AJ and Tevin.
The TevJ show.
The TevJ. We'll workshop names. We'll workshop names. Email us in because I have no creative bone in my body for naming stuff. So, reminder, no family show today. They're taking the day off for that. That should be back tomorrow. Andy will be back in tomorrow as well. Judd joining us one more day tomorrow. And then Phil Mackey holding things down on Friday before the end of the week. But that's about all I got. Anything to you?
Go to YouTube, the Tom Bernard Show or Tom Bernard Podcast on YouTube. Check us out. Give us a like, listen. Message into the show. Here even after the show, we'll get to your messages first thing in the morning tomorrow. But otherwise, enjoy the rest of your day, and we will see you tomorrow.